Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's VIP Studio Visit. The Captain will be back starting the first week of May. To order your tickets before they are all sold out, go to HowieCarShow.com and click on the VIP tab. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone. We've spent the first hour talking a little bit about the UMass Amherst controversy. The three 20-something-year-olds, freshmen, I believe, and so maybe they were 19. They got suspended for going to a day party. It looked like it was a St. Patrick's Day party of sorts. There was a lot of green, and one of my texters just said, could they be discriminating against them because they're Irish? And as an Irish Catholic girl, once again, I'm thinking these parents have quite the lawsuit on their hands. And we will get back to that. I still have more Fauci cuts to play. I'm not done yet. I'm not done ranting about Dr. Fauci, so do not worry. There's just so much news, though, and there's a lot of national news right now, including what the mainstream media wants us all to be focused on, is Liz Cheney. And I've thought about this a lot. And when I think of Liz Cheney and I think of the swamp and I think of rhinos, I've mentioned over the past week, you know, Mitt Romney, Jeff Flake, and, you know, the more prominent rhinos. But my next guest, Neil McCabe from the Tennessee Star, he brings up a rhino I hadn't been thinking of, and he's really going to connect the dots for us here. That rhino would be Paul Ryan, one of the original rhinos. Neil McCabe, thank you so much for joining the Grace Curley Show.
Oh, Grace, it's anytime I have a chance to talk about Paul D. Rhino, it's a thrill. Paul Ryan, of course, was the Speaker of the House in he took over in 2015. At the time, Grace, he had a 59-seat majority. He had almost 20 more votes than Newt Gingrich did, and it was the largest Republican House majority in more than 80 years. You'd have to go back to 1928 to when the Republicans had more seats in Congress than what Paul Ryan took over. And so for him, you know, so when he lost the House, it wasn't just the normal back and forth. It was absolutely a cataclysmic defeat. And part of that defeat in 2018 was when the Republicans left 40 seats uncontested going into that 2018 midterm. And, you know, a lot of people, myself included, believe that Paul Ryan took a dive because he wanted to make sure that Trump got impeached. And he just has this loathing for Donald Trump and, frankly, conservatives, which I saw firsthand, you know, covering Capitol Hill when he was the speaker. And now we sort of fast forward. And, you know, Liz Cheney is, you know, she's going to lose her job Wednesday as the chairman or chairwoman of the House Republican Conference. And this is not just like some token job. She has a staff of 15 or 20 people. This is like a very big deal. The annual retreat that the Republicans have that just concluded about a month ago, you know, she runs that. That's her event. And she runs all the events for the Republican conference. It's a very, very important job. And what you have is you have the leader of the Republican conference who is literally saying that Donald Trump, the most popular figure in the Republican Party, and certainly a very popular figure among House Republicans, is a criminal. And so, like you, I'm trying to figure out, like, what is the source of this animus? And that's where I was able to connect the dots where Liz Cheney, her senior political advisor is a guy named Kevin Seifert, who is also a longtime and former chief of staff for Paul Ryan.
Yeah, and Neil, I'm glad you brought up Paul Ryan and just how bad he was for the GOP, because I think, and I'm guilty of this too, a lot of people, whether they're in media or they just follow what's happening in politics, we all kind of got hyper consumed with the Trump era, and you kind of block out anything that happened before that, and then you start to get kind of blinders on. But he really did a lot of damage, and there are still people who call into my show and say Paul Ryan didn't do anything for us when he had all this power, and he just, like you said, he took the dive to hurt Donald Trump. And you mention in your piece, which people can read at the Tennessee Star, you say what is not yet part of the conversation is the degree to which Ryan, through his aides, has been pushing Cheney and others to reject Trump's leadership of the Republican Party. So you talk a little bit there about Cipher. Let's get into that. What exactly is Paul Ryan doing to help Liz Cheney with this?
Right. So there's two. Not only, well, of course, Paul Ryan did have a virtual fundraiser for Liz Cheney on March 29th, which was very much hyped in the Washington media. I don't know if it broke through nationally or not, but that was quite the signal that not only is Paul Ryan supporting Liz Cheney, but he's also raising money for her. And she, you know, Liz Cheney has also gotten money from Mitt Romney and Andy Card and a whole rogues gallery. But you know, there's no way that Paul Ryan's top aide, Kevin Seifert, who's also part, he also has a post at Ryan's nonprofit called the American Idea Factory. There's no way that Seifert is going to be working with Cheney without the permission of Ryan. That's just not the way political families operate. The second guy, of course, is Jeff Livingston, who runs a group called the Townsend Group in Alexandria. And, of course, he's the fundraiser. He's been a fundraiser for Paul Ryan going back to 2004. And so, again, there's no way that this guy who's been raising money for Paul Ryan for 15 years is going to start working for somebody without getting the blessing of Paul Ryan. And if so, he's the one who ran that March 29 fundraiser. And so you have somebody, they're banking, you have the bank through Jeff Livingston, and then you have the advising and the coaching through Kevin Seifert. And then you see, you know, things like when the second impeachment came down, Pat Toomey, the senator from Pennsylvania, and Bill Cassidy, the senator from Louisiana, voted to convict Trump. And that really surprised me. I'll admit it. I didn't see it coming. Oh, I was going, how could these two guys, like, it just seemed to come out of the blue. And then you find out both guys hired Jeff Livingston as their fundraiser. So they're part of this sort of Team Ryan. And then you look at Nancy Mace, who actually worked on the 2016 Trump campaign, the congresswoman from North Carolina, or South Carolina, rather. And she didn't vote to impeach Trump in the House, but she's come out and she went on Meet the Press and told everybody that Trump's legacy is wiped out and that I am now the new face of the Republican Party. And so it's like Liz Cheney is taking advice and taking money from Paul Ryan and Team Ryan, and I guess she's going to have to follow Paul Ryan into private life, because she's probably going to lose that House seat that she has in Wyoming. And you have to wonder, you know, since when did Paul Ryan or anyone on his team demonstrate any political competence whatsoever anyway? Like, I don't remember thinking that these guys were geniuses. I don't remember any big wins. I just remember a lot of compromises, a lot of folds. And so here we are. And that's so when Liz Cheney goes up Wednesday before the House Republican conference to defend herself for her job, and she will lose, you know, I think she has to thank Paul Ryan for it.
Yeah, and Kevin McCarthy officially endorsed Elise Stefanik over Cheney in the GOP House vote, which is a big deal. Like you said, I don't think she's going to survive this Wednesday vote. Politically, she's going to be done for. But I think a part of this conversation that I keep seeing that I find a little bit frustrating is this question about, is there room for a Republican who disagrees with Trump? And what I love about your piece is weaving in Paul Ryan is a really good example here, because it's like, it's not that you can't dislike Trump, but you can't allow that dislike for him to affect how you do your job. And you can't allow it to, you know, consume you to the point where you sacrifice what's best for your constituents and what's best for your voting base based off your ego. There's a lot of narcissism involved with these rhinos, I think, Neil.
Oh, it's absolutely. And I'll tell you something else. You know, I wrote for the Pilot, Boston's, I consider it Boston's best paper. You may have another opinion, but, I worked for the Archdiocese of Boston, and I'm in the Army Reserve. I've been in the Army. And I'll tell you, in the Army and in the Church, it doesn't really matter whether you're right or wrong. You have to accept who's in charge. It's amazing what you can get away with in both the Church and the Army once you accept your boss as your boss. And then you can talk about, and then once you agree who's in charge, then you can almost, everything's on the table. And, you know, Stefanik is not a hardcore conservative. But those kind of policy issues and philosophies and ideology, that has to be decided later on.
Right.
First, we have to decide, are you actually a Republican or not? And you can't have the number three in the House Republican leadership trashing the next Republican nominee and the guy who was just the president of the United States, who is a Republican.
Yeah, and if we wanted the third person in leadership in the Republican Party to be writing diatribes about Donald Trump in the Washington Post, we could hire Jennifer Rubin. And her Twitter feed is a lot more entertaining than Liz Cheney's.
Entertaining is not the word that came to mind, but I'll go with it.
All right, Neil, so where can people follow you on Twitter and where can they read this piece? It's a really great piece, and it really goes into detail about just how swampy this is and just how many people are on Liz Cheney's side with this. What is your Twitter handle?
You can follow me on Twitter at Neil W. McCabe 2. And then, of course, you can just Google the Tennessee Star. And it's sort of the flagship of the Star News Network. We have stars in Florida, Georgia, Virginia, Minnesota, Michigan. It might be a secret, but I'll tell you, we're opening up a star in Texas coming up.
Ooh.
So the Star News Network is growing, but the Tennessee Star right now is the flagship.
All right, awesome. Thank you, Neil McCabe, and we'll keep everyone posted on what happens with Liz Cheney. I hope Neil's right. I would like to see her ousted. I think that's going to be the title of this hour, Unchained. I think it's time. I think that we've seen what she wants here, and it looks like she's aiming for a gig on CNN. I don't see why that wouldn't happen for her. But her spot right now is not meant to be in leadership for the GOP. All right, when we get back, I do want to play some of this Fauci sound. If you can believe this, he's now telling us that we can be close. Do you notice, Jared, every holiday he says by this time next year? So if it's Christmas, he says by next Christmas. If it's St. Patrick's Day, he says conceivably by next St. Patrick's Day. And if it's Mother's Day, well, you guessed it. Next Mother's Day. We'll be back. We'll play all this sound and we'll take your calls. I'll open up the phone lines 844-500-4242. If you want to talk UMass Amherst, if you want to talk Liz Cheney, we're opening it up for anything. So call in. We'll be back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
I do want to talk about Dr. Fauci here because every time he makes one of these wacky predictions, I think, wow, it takes... The guy has, and I don't know, maybe this isn't the right... Maybe this isn't the right way to describe it, but he's got cojones, you know? Most people would feel too much shame at this point to keep going on TV and to make the wrong predictions over and over and over again. You know, you start to get a little bit, maybe I'll take a back seat for a day. Maybe I'll take the weekend off, but not Dr. Fauci. Listen to what he said yesterday on Mother's Day. He was bringing the joy to all the mothers out there. He was giving them hope that maybe by next Mother's Day, they could enjoy brunch without four masks on their faces. Cut 18.
Well, George, I hope that next Mother's Day we're going to see a dramatic difference than what we're seeing right now. I believe that we will be about as close to back to normal as we can. And there's some conditions to that, George. We've got to make sure that we get the overwhelming proportion of the population vaccinated.
The word conditions, it's these words like conceivably and conditions. I just want to scream. You're not my keeper. You're not the boss of me. This is not a country where we have all these conditions for being able to walk outside and do what we want. I don't know when Dr. Fauci became the ruler of the United States of America. I don't know when it happened, but it obviously did, because we're all waiting around like sheep for this man to tell us what we can do and what we can't do. And, you know, you're eating your Sunday so you can take your mask off, but put it right back on. Because there's strains and there's droplets. If I have to hear about the droplets one more time, I'm going to lose it. And that wasn't all he had to say. Because then, and this is the really weird part, is that in one interview, he can say, like, things that are so opposite of each other. It used to be that from one interview to the next, he would change his mind. But now he's changing up mid-interview. Cut 19.
Former head of the FDA, Scott Gobley, say it's time to start relaxing the indoor mask mandates. Is he right?
No, I think so. And I think you're going to probably seeing that as we go along and as more people get vaccinated. The CDC will be almost in real time, George, updating their recommendations and their guidelines. But yes, we do need to start being more liberal as we get more people vaccinated.
All right. So why not now? Start today. It's a new day, you know? That's how I always feel. It's like, oh, you look at this and go, oh, you know, I have so much on my to-do list. I'll start tomorrow. Why start tomorrow? Start today. If you think we need to be more liberal with the masks, then let's do it. Why don't you call up UMass Amherst, Dr. Fauci, and say, give the girls a break. Cut them some slack. And it's not just Dr. Fauci. I mean, there's experts galore right now. We have more experts than we know what to do with. There's so many, you know that expression, too many cooks in the kitchen? There's too many experts at the mainstream news networks nowadays. I can't even keep track of them. But Jeff Zients, he's the White House COVID coordinator. Listen to what he said about giving people more and more privileges to take their mask off. Cut four.
And wearing a mask it can be a pain, but we're getting there. And the light at the end of the tunnel is brighter and brighter. Let's keep up our guard. Let's follow the CDC guidance. And the CDC guidance across time will allow vaccinated people more and more privileges to take off that mask.
Again, I don't know who elected the CDC or Dr. Fauci or Dr. Rochelle. I wasn't around for that. I missed that election. And first of all, I know nobody's watching these things besides hearing it on my show. That's probably the most play it's going to get. But it's still annoying. It's still annoying that we're waiting on this. And we have a lot more about this to talk about because it's everywhere, you know, and it's all they want to talk about is more mask mandates. And I get emails all the time. I got an email from a woman today. She said, I'm down the Cape and the only town that hasn't lifted the masks outdoors is Chatham. She said it's driving me crazy, but it's not based off science. It's based off virtue signaling. When we get back, I want to talk a little bit about this Melinda Gates, Bill Gates story. I think Jared's going to enjoy this one. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I don't know if you saw this, but Susan Hennessy will be joining the Department of Justice and the National Security Division. I wasn't as familiar with Susan Hennessy, but according to people on Twitter, she was a big enabler of the Russian hoax fake story, the Russian hoax. Yeah. And They also say that she went on a massive tweet delete spree before announcing she had accepted the job, which is always kind of makes you think, you know, if you get a job and then before you announce it, you got to delete like 100 or 200 or 300 tweets. I don't know. Makes me a little suspicious. But I do want to, before I move on here to billionaires in the news, I want to do a little bit of journalism in the news.
And now, news.
Very fake news.
I see a lot of excellent journalism being done.
Give me the press.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
How can you ask a question when you don't know the press?
He said that journalists make up stories and make up sources.
As a journalist, I don't really like being the story here.
Very fake news.
And many of your compatriots had to change their reporting and they had to apologize and they had to correct.
This is a golden age of journalism in a lot of ways.
Mr. Biden, Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get? News.
All right. So over the weekend, Brian Stelter from CNN, he hosts the lowly rated Reliable Sources. It actually got better ratings when he went on vacation, which is not a great sign for the future of the show. But he loves to watch Fox News. He's obsessed with it. If only other people watched his show with the same passion that he watches Fox News, then he might be in a better spot than he is in. But they're obsessed with Liz Cheney in the mainstream media. They want to focus on Liz Cheney. They want to convince you that there's a civil war in the GOP. There is not. Spoiler alert. But this is what Brian Stelter tweeted out, and he made a point. He definitely made a point, but it was not the point he thought he was making. He said, GOP in disarray, not on GOP TV. This week, Liz Cheney was mentioned 300 plus times each on CNN and MSNBC. On Fox News, just 48 times. Yeah. I think that says more about CNN and MSNBC than it does about Fox News. 48 times seems like a pretty regular, normal, have an idea of what's happening in the world amount. Over 300 times when we're in the middle of a pandemic and a disastrous jobs report seems like you might be overdoing it just a bit. In other news and journalism, Stephanie Roll from MSNBC, she had an incredibly bad take. Obviously, people right now are talking a lot about the jobs report that dropped on Friday. It was very bad, no matter what Marty Walsh, Joe Biden, tries to tell you. It was not good. It was, I think, 700,000 jobs less than they expected to be added. They were expecting like a million, and it was 266,000, I think, somewhere around there. I'm sure, you know, millions came in later that night at 4 a.m. But Stephanie Roll was reacting to a tweet which said labor supply appears to be tighter than the unemployment rate suggests, likely reflecting the impact of unusually generous unemployment benefits and lingering virus-related impediments to working. In other words, if you get paid so much to not go to work, it de-incentivizes getting a job and going to work. And this is Stephanie Roll's take on this. Why is it that the unemployment benefits are too generous rather than the pay offered by employers too low? Pay more money equals find more workers. If margins are so thin that you cannot increase pay without passing it through / losing customers, your business model doesn't work. Now that is a very, very bold / callous statement to make, especially when businesses, especially small businesses, are barely surviving right now. And Stephanie Roll is like, I don't get it. Learn to code and pay your employees more. What's so hard about that? That's mind-blowingly out of touch. The lack of self-awareness to say that after these people, these businesses, have barely hung on. They've been crushed by everyone from Dr. Fauci to Joe Biden to Kamala Harris. They've been crushed. And Stephanie Roll's just saying, why don't you just pay your employees more? If you pay them more, then they'll want to work for you. I don't understand what's so hard about that. And if you can't do that, then your business is not good and you don't deserve to be here. Am I missing something? I can't. And that's something that I've noticed with the left is there's a real lack of sympathy for the average working person. You know, the people who employ people, small mom and pop stores, they seem very okay with just telling them, if you can't cut it, move along. We don't need you. Now, speaking of small businesses, there's no one who is as harmful to small businesses as Amazon. And speaking of that, Jeff Bezos is in the news. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Bezos buys $500 million super yacht amid luxury industry boom. So that's one business that's really booming right now is the luxury industry.
Mija, you're worth it.
Bezos, you're worth it. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos will reportedly soon take delivery of a $500 million mega yacht. Proof that the niche industry for billionaires is in its prime. The world's richest man, currently worth $191 billion, is expected to soon get his project Y721 yacht, which is due to be finished next month, years after he ordered it, according to Bloomberg Wealth. While details are mostly being kept under wraps, the vessel will be 417 feet long, span several decks, and have three huge masts, and even have its own support yacht with a helipad. It will likely cost at least $500 million. Huh. But it is a symbol of the secretive boat-building industry that is thriving like never before. Jared, have you gone into this yet?
I haven't gotten into that, no. I need to do that.
Yeah, I would say so. It's booming right now. This is the time, man.
I'm gonna get one of those old-fashioned bevels and just start swinging back and forth on a nice piece of oak.
I know what Jared really wants to talk about. He doesn't, you know, Jeff Bezos is not the billionaire he's interested in. If I know Jared, it's that he has a vested interest in Bill Gates. And I'm not going to say it's because Jared's into conspiracy theories and all that stuff. But Jared, if anyone could talk about this divorce, it would be you. Now,
yes.
I have very little interest in this. They're both going to be super wealthy. I don't really care. I just get annoyed that they live on private islands and I'm expected to not eat a medium rare cheeseburger once in a while. That part of it irks me. You know, these people are on $500 million yachts and I can't get a straw when I get my coffee. Feels a little bit inauthentic.
It's the only choice for somebody like me.
Yes, yes. John Kerry, honestly, look, he has chump change compared to these people. Melinda Gates was meeting with divorce lawyers since 2019 to end marriage with Bill Gates. Again, you go, why do I care about that? Who cares? But the split between Bill and Melinda Gates has been in the works for a long time. Now, according to reports, the philanthropist had discussions with lawyers in 2019 around when the Microsoft co-founder's ties to Jeffrey Epstein became public.
Uh-oh.
What do you think this means, Jared? Bill Gates met with Jeffrey Epstein more times than would be considered normal.
Yes. I mean, obviously, everybody's seen the video of Trump at a party where Jeffrey Epstein is there and they're interacting. I mean, Epstein traveled these circles of the rich and the wealthy and blah, 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 whatever. But we obviously know Jeffrey Epstein's sordid past. And if you're, and I'm just speculating, I don't think Melinda Gates would walk away if Bill just happened to have lunch one day with Jeffrey Epstein or met Jeffrey Epstein at a party and they talked.
Well, I think that that's what comes up in this article is that Mr. Gates had met with Mr. Epstein on numerous occasions. Mr. Gates once stayed late into the night at Mr. Epstein's Manhattan townhouse. Now, I believe that she made it very clear that she did not like him meeting with Epstein, and he ignored her, I believe. So there could be more to this story. One source of concern for Ms. Gates was her husband's dealings with convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, according to the People and a former employee of their charity. Ms. Gates's concerns about the relationship dated back as far back as 2013. This does not look good for Bill Gates. That's all I'm going to say. And speaking of very, very rich people, she's not billionaire status yet. But Black Lives Matter co-founder Patrice Cullors, who seems to be getting into the news on a daily basis. Like, we could have a segment about this woman. She has funneled business to company run by father of her only child. This is an interesting story. Patrice Cullors, the co-founder and executive director of Black Lives Matter, has funneled business to a company led by a man she identified as the father of her only child. The company, Trap Heels, was formed just days before partnering with Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation and later became the charity's lead developer of the art and cultural efforts. Two other activist groups Cullors led paid Trap Heels a collective $238,000 to produce an election night live stream and for consulting services. Consulting services are the biggest racket in the biz. And Jared, I'm angry that I even have to remind you of this again. We need to get in on this. Grace Curley Show Consulting Group.
We're available, Ms. Cullors. Just reach out and let us know what you need.
In numerous public mentions of their work, Cullors and Trap Heels chief Damon Turner did not disclose that they had a child together, but in at least one instance, Turner said Cullors was directly involved in Trap Heels' partnership with Black Lives Matter Global Network. I think that's interesting. It's very Bernie Sanders and Jane Sanders-esque.
Yes, I am not a business person, but even I can understand that if a company comes into existence 2 days before it gets a ton of money by somebody who is associated with a certain something, something's not on the up and up.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. And speaking of Black Lives Matter, did you see this post from CNN? They were talking about the shooting of Micaiah Bryant. Micaiah Bryant was shot by a police officer. She was trying to stab another teenager. And this is the headline. Micaiah Bryant's biological mother, the family's attorney and child welfare experts, say they believe the foster care system failed Micaiah. You know what Stephen Miller responded? You'll never believe who else failed her, CNN. Stephen Miller, and I'm not making light of that situation, but Stephen Miller does have great tweets. We'll be back. We're going to talk a little bit here. I see that Joe Biden is making a speech, Jared?
Yes, President Hamburglar is talking about the pipeline hack today.
Oh,
yeah. We may have some of this after.
Okay, yeah, so we'll grab some of the sound. And I am talking with Paul Craney from Mask Fiscal at 2 o'clock about everything happening in Massachusetts. There are a lot of people who are completely fed up with the fact that we are going to be one of the last states to fully open. And so we'll be talking about that. I have had my fair share of free lunches during my time at the Howie Carr Radio Network. So I can say this with confidence, nothing beats Aviva Trattoria. Since the start of my show in January, Aviva Trattoria has catered a free lunch every other Friday here at the studio. I'm sad, Jared, because this Friday is not an Aviva Friday, but next Friday is an Aviva Friday. And what happens is you go to gracecurlyshow.com to sign up. I select the winner and Marcy brings in an amazing spread every single time. Last time I had a slice of the margarita pizza, sandwiches, pasta, risotto. There's so much delicious stuff. And a lot of times she brings in desserts. You can't go wrong.
Yes, I tried the eggplant Milanese, and it was a feast. There were four different types of accoutrement, shall we say?
Yes,
with the breaded eggplant, it was perfect. And the short rib risotto never lets you down.
It's so delicious. Their eggplant is so light and crispy and yummy. It's really good. From seafood to their homemade pasta, Aviva has you covered. They also have four convenient locations in Marlboro, Maynard, Wrentham, and Westford. Takeout is available too. To enter to win the Aviva VIP lunch, go to gracecurlyshow.com. That's gracecurlyshow.com. We'll keep the phone lines open. We might go to Joe Biden on the other side, depending on how brave we feel today. 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back.
Tom.
Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and for the boys. I've got to keep the troops entertained.
Wow. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Speaking of the bad jobs numbers that came out on Friday, do you notice a theme here? The Labor Department doesn't want to take all the blame for this. So now they're saying, well, it's because the kids aren't in school, so the moms can't go back to work. Which begs the question, well, why aren't the kids in school? All of these liberals are bending themselves into a pretzel to not take any blame, but the blame has to go somewhere. So it usually ends up at a different department's door. We still have to do the poll question here, and we're still waiting for Biden to finish up his talk so we can kind of cut through that. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Follinsby Inn, located on beautiful Kezar Lake in North Sutton, New Hampshire. Go to FollinsbyInn.com. That's Follinsby Inn, spelled FOLLANSBEE. Go to FollinsbyInn.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What's the bigger super spreader? Three girls at an off-campus party or the UMass Hockey Frozen Four?
The celebrations after the UMass Hockey Frozen Four win.
Yes. 69% say that is correct.
If you guys missed this story, it's pretty wild. It's national news. UMass Amherst has suspended three girls after they got a picture of the girls at a party. It looked like a St. Patrick's Day party where they were not wearing masks. And now the parents are saying that because of this, they're losing the entire term, which cost $16,000. And it's all pointless because now the girls can't take their finals. You know, nothing really is counting. And it's all because they went to a party and took pictures outside without wearing masks. The insanity is real. And speaking of insanity, I do want to finish off this Jeff Zients guy. He's the White House COVID coordinator. Listen to what he said about the July 4th deadline. Cut three.
And we want those folks to get vaccinated. And the July 4th deadline is a really good, our goal is a really good goal.
Whoops.
Whoopsies. Slip of the tongue. There's all this talk about these deadlines. And that's actually what we're going to be talking about in the next segment. Because Massachusetts, they're putting the restaurants here in a really tough spot. I follow a lot of restaurant owners on, you know, social media. And there's this problem with, all right, so New Hampshire's going to be open, you know, even New York's going to be open before us. How do you expect restaurants to compete with free America when we are still in the Stone Ages here? When we have to wait until August. And when they say August, I think the date is August 1st. When they say that, Jared, is that lifting all restrictions, including masks inside?
The language said all COVID restrictions for businesses.
The language.
So that would indicate, yes, masks as of August 1st would also be lifted.
You didn't say that with any sort of confidence.
I have zero confidence that masks will be lifted by August 1st.
That's the problem with this state especially, is that people will say, oh, you know, well, everything's going to be fine by September. I mean, everything. According to what? What are we going based off of? Charlie Baker? That's who I'm supposed to put my faith in, is Charlie Baker? I think not. When we get back, we will be asking Paul Craney a lot of our questions. There are a lot of people who are not taking this shutdown and lockdown sitting down, and that's what I really like. We will also talk a little bit about Nancy Pelosi's latest blunder. Do not go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.